She was conscious of her four friends at her shoulder, frozen by the sick man's overwhelming force.
What about Ryan?
Come to seek the works of the Lord, Outlander, and his wonders in the deep.
And may the good Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, have mercy on his soul.
Ryan and Donphil both jerked awake at the grating sound of bolts being kicked open. The hatch was lifted, and a flood of bright sunshine blinded them. Calloused hands reached down and tugged them out of the rope locker. First the Apache, then Ryan Carter, were heaved into the sunlight onto the scrubbed white planks of the deck. Ryan stretched, drawing in deep breaths of the bitingly fresh air, feeling it clear away the last shreds of the knockout drug. There was a boisterous wind blowing, and he could see the gray-green waves as they rolled under the bow of the ship. There were men all around, but Ryan ignored them, looking beyond their heads over the bulwarks, scanning the horizon slowly, checking out the vessel. Donphil was doing the same, straining on the tips of his toes, using his extra foot of height. Both of the men reached the same conclusion. There wasn't even a blur of land to be seen anywhere. The sea stretched in all directions. From the angle of the sun, it was toward the evening side of the afternoon, the shadows spreading out from their bare feet. Ryan's guess was that they must have sailed before the dawn, slipping their moorings and sliding ghost-like through the misty harbor of Claggartville.
Seen enough?
The speaker was one of the men who'd been sitting near the door of the Rising Flukes the previous evening.
Yeah.
Thou did takes the light from Jonas Clegg, didst thou not?
That's right.
Ryan sized up the quality of the opposition. It looked as if most of the crew had gathered to hold them out of their prison. There were more than 20 men there, with a fair mix of sizes, ages, and races. The one thing they all had in common was that they were tough, weathered men. Ryan wouldn't really have expected any different. He guessed that a whaling ship, especially with Pyrrha Quad as skipper, was probably about as hard as a war wag.
Jonas had sailed many leagues with us.
Way I heard it, he's still sailing, around the harbor. Unless he's sunk into the mud by now.
Thinkest thou that's funny?
No. I don't think Chilling's ever funny.
Donphil was staring up at the mast, watching its slow, pitching roll. His face was completely blank, almost as if he'd put himself into a kind of trance. Ryan had seen Christie do something similar. A short man with a white scar that tugged at the corner of his mouth poked Ryan in the back with the end of a belaying pin.
Know what thou art here for, Outlander?
To give Pyrrha Quad a chance of revenge would be my guess.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But it's Captain Quad or Ma'am, or you'll get chilled quicker than yesterday.
Another man spoke up, well over 6 feet in height, but his head seemed only the size of a large apple, so out of proportion was it.
Very dim it be, very dim. The body'll rot, but the soul rolls along like the fifth wheel upon a wagon, shipmates.
Ignore him.
Thou hast but one oar in the water if thou takest my meaning.
There was a sudden silence, broken only by the tapping of a cane on the deck. The whole vessel creaked as timber chafed against timber, spars moving, cords and cables tugging. The wind was whistling gently through the rigging of the Salvation. Ryan wondered whether these might be the last sounds he would ever hear.
Get about thy gutting business!
What if they try on?
Thou hast fewer brains than ye who. Why I made thee second mate after Clegg turned in his sea boots, I swear I'll never know. Get the men moving, Mr. Walsh.
Aye, ma'am.
Walsh turned and jostled the crew to move them off the deck and out of the captain's way. Ryan noticed that none of the men showed any desire to hang around. In moments, the planks were bare of other life. Only Donphil remained, still smiling at the limitless ocean, and Ryan, and Pyrrha Quad.
Well, well, well. See how the wheel spins and the ship turns to the helm. Not so proud now, Ryan Carter.
She waited, but he said nothing.
Well, aren't ye a fine pair? A ragged couple and no mistake. I never asked for the harpooner, thou knowest.
Just me, huh?
Triple strike, Cully. Just thee. And now I've got thee.
Donphil finally unfixed his eyes from the horizon, and stared intently at the captain of the whaler.
An evil woman is a swollen boil in the armpit of the Almighty.
What's that, the... Best keep thine oilskin closed, or there might be a squall to take thee away. If thou dost not take my meaning, I suggest thou talkest less. Thou canst return to port a rich man, Don Feelmore. Think on that.
What lay would you give me? A tenth?
She turned away a moment, trying to erase the hatred from her eyes before she faced the Apache again.
A tenth, thou sayest? Not even the finest ironsman sailing from old Nantucket ever got such a lay.
No ironsman from old Nantucket ever struck the mark 10 casts from 10, Captain.
Thou speakest truth there, my lofty harpooner. 10 from 10, I heard said. If thou work'st and earn'st thy biscuits and ale, then I'll give thee 1/15th lay, Don Feelmore.
It's not...
Don't push thy luck, Indian. I'm not just giving thee thy flinching 15th lay.
Donphil turned to Ryan, puzzled.
What does she mean by...
She means that you also get to live, brother. That's what she means.
Oh...
Ryan Carter is not the fool he seems, Indian. He marks well what I say. Thou shouldst do the same.
What lay do I get, Captain?
Once more the stick lifted, and the Feral touched him on the throat, pressing him 2 steps backward until he felt the raised rail against his spine. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see the surging waves hissing by just below him. The cold metal pushed harder, and he knew that his life could be snuffed out like a candle if Piraquad chose that moment. The gamble was that she wouldn't. Not yet. The point of the cane moved from his throat, traced a line down his sternum, over the flat wall of muscle across his stomach. It brushed lightly across his groin, making him shrink back.
All men fear for their cocks. Perhaps that might be my revenge, Ryan Carter. Have thee gelded with a flensing knife. Cack and balls over the side for the gulls. Hot tar to check thy bleeding. Then keep thee around for a servant.
You know I'd kill you.
I know that, Outlander. Course I know that. It's not true that any man on board the Salvation would open me from gob to gut. Yet I live. Why?
Fear.
Greed.
I'm the best. Yes, the best. Every year I bring wealth to the town, and those fawning bastards fall over at my shadow and kiss my ass. But they'd all see me dead. I can find the whales, scent them across the miles, hunt and kill them every year. You'll see it. The Indian could even live and become rich. But to throw an iron at an old door on a cobbled quay...
The man at the wheel looked over his shoulder, as though he feared something coming up.